Welcome to the BLG Podcast, where we discuss industry trends and legal issues that affect Canadian businesses. Borden Ladner Gervais is one of Canada's largest law firms. With more than 700 lawyers, intellectual property agents, and other professionals located in five cities across Canada. In this edition, BLG lawyers Duncan Marsden and Andrew Pozzebon discuss workplace harassment complaints and how to handle them effectively.
Thanks for joining into today's podcast. My name is Andrew Pozzebon, and I'm a senior associate at Borden Ladner Gervais in Calgary. Today's topic of conversation is an important one. We are going to talk about workplace harassment. As you may be aware, as of January 1st of last year, Alberta introduced into its occupational health and safety legislation the definition of harassment, and employers now have an obligation to investigate incidents of harassment. So it's a question that we've been dealing with quite frequently here at BLG. And joining me today to discuss this topic is Duncan Marsden. He's a partner at BLG's Labor and Employment Group in the Calgary office. And for those who may have missed it, Duncan actually discussed this topic at BLG's Labor and Employment Symposium on May 9th. Duncan, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Andrew.
So let's start off. Can you explain to me what harassment is?
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about the effective management of workplace harassment complaints. And so to do that, I guess we have to start off with understanding what harassment is. And as you said, we've now actually got a definition under the Occupational Health and Safety Act. So harassment is, under the definition, any single incident or repeated incidents of objectionable or unwelcome conduct, comment, bullying, or action by a person that the person knows or ought reasonably to know will or would cause offence or humiliation to the worker or adversely affects the worker's health and safety. So that's a long definition, obviously.
What does that mean to you?
So to me, I mean, I think it's one of those things that you sort of know it when you see it. Harassment is, generally speaking, I think the important parts of the definition are that harassment can be a single incident, doesn't have to be lots of incident, and it's pretty much any unwelcome conduct. So if I put my hand on your shoulder and you don't have a problem with that, that's not harassment. But if I put my hand on your shoulder and you do have a problem with it and you tell me to stop and I don't, that can be harassment.
So if I had a situation where my boss repeatedly called me a giraffe, would that be considered harassment?
It depends if it's true.
Now that we have a definition of harassment, what is a harassment complaint?
Well, a complaint can be anything, and there are lots of different sources of complaints. I mean, you can have verbal complaints, written complaints, chatting in the workplace, revealing exit interviews, I guess, observations from supervisors, opinion surveys, and anonymous complaints. So pretty much anything can be a complaint. The difficulty comes when you need to make an assessment as to whether or not to do anything with the complaint. My sort of rule of thumb is that if the complaint is in writing, then you should absolutely do something about it and follow up. And even if the complaint is only verbal, if you have any concerns whatsoever about whether or not you should follow up, then you should be checking with the employee as to what the employee wants you to do with it. The worst thing you can do is have a complaint in an informal or formal context and do nothing about it. So if in doubt, if someone says something or writes something and brings it to your attention, then you should definitely do something about it.
So it doesn't need to be a formal written complaint. It could be just something that one of your employees says in passing, but that would be considered a complaint.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most difficult thing that human resources professionals find is that often someone will come to them and say, hey, I want you to know about this, but I don't want you to do anything about it. And the difficulty that you often face in that is that, you know, while it's great to respect the employee's wishes, ultimately it's not their call as to whether or not you do anything about it.
So there's an obligation on employers to investigate complaints in the workplace. What is considered the workplace?
Basically, my view is that the workplace is anywhere that someone is as a result of their job duties. So it can include the Christmas party, the stampede party, it can include training, even if it's off-site. Obviously, the office and the workspace would almost always be considered the workplace. And drinks after work can also be considered the workplace, provided there is a link to the work. So if a group of work colleagues meet up on an unscheduled event, then that's probably not the workplace. But if there is a work event and work is buying the drinks or whatever it might be, then that probably is going to be the workplace. So it's quite a broad definition is the essence of that.
Who should be conducting the workplace investigation?
So the investigation needs to be conducted by a competent person in accordance with the Occupational Health and Safety Regulations. And that's defined actually in the regulations as being someone who is impartial, who has knowledge, training and experience in workplace violence and has knowledge of the relevant legislation. I think the essence we have to take from this is you need an impartial person who is not going to be biased by hopefully their own views of the witnesses or their own views of the person complaining or the person responding, and who is able to come to an impartial decision looking at all the facts.
So you've spoken about witnesses. Who should the witnesses be that you're speaking with?
Yeah, I mean, the witnesses will be anyone really who has knowledge or information about the facts that are being alleged. So usually it would be those identified by the complainant and the respondent. I would ordinarily start with the complainant so that you can find out exactly what the complaint is about. And then it may be that you have to go and speak to people identified by the complainant to find out a bit more information. And then after that, once you've gathered enough information that you can put the complaints to the respondent with some amount of detail and specificity, then I would speak to the respondent. And then you would probably have to go back to the complainant again after that to put the respondent's response to the complainant to see what they say about that. But essentially, if anyone's seen anything, if anyone was part of the conversation that is being complained about, then certainly those are people you're going to want to speak to.
So you give us a lot of tips about the investigation, and we've seen recently a lot of court cases where the courts have hammered down on employers for failing to conduct a proper investigation or failing to speak with all the witnesses. Do you have any tips on what an interview should look like?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of considerations that you're going to have to determine when you're the interviewer. The first and foremost, I guess, is the location of the interview. Like, where are you going to hold this interview? My recommendation is that the more comfortable the parties or the witnesses feel, the better the information will be that they provide. But also you need a location that ensures confidentiality. So you wouldn't want the glass office in the middle of the open plan floor where everyone can see what's going on. Equally, people might feel comfortable in a restaurant or something, but you certainly wouldn't want to conduct this investigation in a restaurant or a public place like that. So confidentiality is also very important. You could, again, consider going outside the workplace, but it has to be a place where you're going to be able to talk with some confidentiality and ideally avoid the public. I would also note that I think the first few minutes of any interview are crucial, and the way the investigation begins sets the basis for the rest of the interview and for the future. And so it's a fine line. I mean, you can have too much professionalism or you can have too little professionalism. And that can really impact the interviewer's relationship with the witnesses, which is going to be a key issue in determining what actually happened, which at the end of the day is the role of the investigation.
So you've received a complaint. You've spoken with all the witnesses. What happens next?
So ultimately, the last part of the investigation process is usually going to be an investigation report. And this is where the investigator sets out everything that they have found during the investigation so that usually someone else can make a decision about what is to happen next. You know, is the complaint justified, and therefore what decisions should be taken in terms of termination or any other employment decisions. So the purpose of the report is to give enough facts to the decision maker. Obviously, you're never going to have people admitting that they harass someone else, and usually there aren't any witnesses. So the difficulty for an investigator is that they have to come to some sort of determination as to fact. And it may be that the complaint can't be substantiated because there aren't enough witnesses, or it may be that the investigator is able to pull on external references and determine on a balance of probabilities what they think happened. And remember, this is not a criminal trial. This is on the balance of probabilities. So if it's more likely than not that something happened, then the investigator is able to come to that determination in the report. The report itself would normally be in writing, and I would usually make sure that everything is in there, make sure it's well structured, make sure it's well organized, but make sure it's very clear as to who was questioned, when they were questioned, how they were questioned, like was it in person or over the telephone, and anything which might be relevant to the person taking their decision.
So as I mentioned, we've seen a lot of investigations where they haven't been conducted properly. What are your golden rules for conducting a workplace investigation related to harassment?
So the first thing to note is that when you receive the complaint, you got to take it seriously. It may be an employee who brings a lots of complaints, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's unfounded, and you should take every complaint seriously. The second thing to do is to act quickly. You know, if you let things sit for days, that can be a problem. So certainly report it as necessary up the chain, but act quickly and appropriately in those circumstances. The third thing I would say is make sure you conduct a fair and equitable investigation, and we've spoken about that in some detail today. I would also make sure that you ensure confidentiality throughout the process. I mean, that's a bit of a difficult thing to do because, you know, while you're going to say to the complainant, yeah, we'll keep this as confidential as we can, obviously you're going to have to disclose a lot of information to the respondent so that they can respond to the complaint. So never promise total confidentiality to the complainant, but certainly keep it as confidential as you can. When you're conducting the investigation, I would make sure that you listen and show empathy, and certainly don't judge anyone. These are difficult times for the person who's complained, and obviously it may have taken a lot of courage for them to build up to actually complaining in the first place. The employer should ensure that the persons conducting the investigation are impartial and qualified to conduct the investigation. And the investigators should focus on the facts and avoid making hasty conclusions and speculation. Always follow up on the complaint, even if the complainant has said they don't want anything done. Ensure that the victim and witnesses are not subject to any retaliation or reprisals in any event. And finally, I guess, know when to use the services of the organization's lawyer or external legal counsel. There may be times when you want the investigation report to be privileged, and that's only possible if you use a lawyer to conduct that.
That's a great tip. So Duncan, thanks very much for joining us today. It's very much appreciated you coming in and giving us your summary of what a workplace investigation looks like. If anyone has any questions about workplace investigations, feel free to reach out to us at blg.com.
Thanks, Andrew.